Oh. about it today, or actually thinking about it just a while ago, that, you know, we go through such a hustle and bustle, and everything's going on all day long, and sometimes I don't, and it's not sometimes, it's all the time, that I don't stop and give thanks for what God's done for me, and for the many blessings He's given me, and continues, even though I don't deserve them, He keeps showering them down on me. I think about how, you know, that song, that band song, a lot of times I go through the motions, and church kicks off, and, you know, we're playing up here in the band, and we kind of just go through the motions, and just play the song, and the words don't really hit us. And I thought about how our God reigns. I mean, He's over everything, and I don't want to leave that covering. I hear recently, God's blessed me in some ways, and the first thing that occurred to me in my old doubting mind was God's paying me off. You know, God's going to give me what I deserve. He's going to give me what little bit I've laid up. Okay, God's paid me off, and I thought, but God, I don't want to be paid off. I don't want to be paid off in the good, and I don't want to be paid off in the bad. You know, I want to keep somewhat. I started to say I want to keep God in my debt a little bit. I know that's not how it works, but I am thankful. I'm thankful for, you know, things that when they happen, you don't really see the good in it. But when Joanne's dad died, I saw a side of her that I'd never seen. I saw her go out there and take control, and I was like, good Lord, the way she took care of I never saw that coming. But you see, and sometimes it takes a tragedy to see how somebody can, so to speak, man up, step up, yeah, shoulder the load and get in there, and you don't really see what they're capable of. And then I thought, you know, it's under adversity that we start seeing what everybody brings to the table, and what really it can bring, and what's been being cultivated in your life over the years. And I'm thankful to be, you know, be part of this family of God, my own natural family. You know, I'm thankful for Brother Smith. You know, sometimes his gift is it's a fearful thing to sit under. You know, because, you know, you can be fearful of a man of God and be fear of it. You know, you can fear his gift. You can fear to step out of line. I don't think you should fear the man, but I think I have a fear for his gift, of his gift, that I don't want to take that for granted. But I'm thankful for my natural family as well. I'm thankful for the sacrifices that my dad has made over the years, and my grandparents before that, and my mom. Yeah, she's, you know, worked up here for years and years. You know, if you're looking for Joyce Weiniger at 2 o'clock in the morning, you know pretty much where to find her. You're gonna find her at home. Usually she'll be down in that office. And I'm thankful for my natural family. I mean, I was talking to one of my customers the other day, and they said that you know, we were talking about our kids and this and that, and they were saying, you mean you have, your kids are how old? And I said, well, 20 and 18, 19 and 17, whatever, the 20, whatever, somewhere around in there. I lose track. And they said, you have never had to go bail them out of jail? And I said, no. Said, you've never had to go pick them up because they've been out drinking? No. I said, you've got, like that was normal, like that was something. I was like, I took that for granted. I mean, I shouldn't have to do those things, I wouldn't think. But I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful for all our kids here. And I don't, you know, I look at all these kids as being my kids, not just Zach and Alex, but I look at these kids here and I call them kids. And I've said before, sometimes I have somewhat of a problem with calling our youth youth, because when you're saying, to me, when you're saying somebody's a youth, you're saying they're not something else. You know, it's like me, I've always disliked the term bluegrass music, even though I play it, or played it. It's because when you're saying it's bluegrass, you're saying it's not something else. You're excluding, you know, you're saying, okay, since this is bluegrass, a tuba doesn't fit. Well, I don't agree with that. I think it can all fit if we blend our spirits. But it's, you know, getting back to my thought about the young people, you know, I see these young people that come when they don't have to and are making a stand in their way. And I watched that, and I watched it for years. And I see these kids, and they're no doubt they struggle. We all do. But I appreciate the fact that they're making a stand. You know, I've watched, I mean, I could go down the list. I've watched Nathan, I've watched Brandon, I've watched Ariel, I've watched Skyler, I've watched my kids, I've watched Brother Nathan's. I mean, I've watched all these kids that they continue to just keep right on plugging. And I appreciate it. It's a great encouragement to me. You know, a lot of times, many times, you know, I've thought, like we all have, you think about, you know, Lord, forget it, I've had enough, I'm done. But then I think, it doesn't matter whether I'm done or not. I'm not necessarily doing this for me. You know, my musical talent is not for me. You know, Brother Curtis's musical talent is not for him. It's for him to bless us with. And I consider it a great honor to play with him. I do, and I'm, you know, I miss him when he's not here. I mean, I do, and I when I see that, you know, I think of, you know, the people here that think that maybe they don't make that much of a contribution, but I look out there, and we miss them when they're gone. You know, I look out there, I see Sister Wilkins sitting in her spot, and you know, if you ask Sister Wilkins, I'm sure that she would say that she doesn't make much of a contribution, as probably would any of us, but we don't think we. I hope we don't think we make that because, you know, that'd be a little bit egotistical. Now, Sister Dolores, she'll tell you straight up, she makes a great contribution every time. And by doing that, no, she'll let you know. No, I'm kidding, Sister Dolores, you know that. But, I know, that's my job. But I'm honored to be here, to sit among God's people and to be among this fellowship. And I think, you know, many times, you know, I've got friends that are in other religions and Pentecostal and this, and I, when I'm talking to them, you know, they appear sometimes to have it so good. But then when I start talking to them, they've got the same problems, the same situations in their church that we do, that we all do. It's life. But when I, or worse, of course. But then when I think back, then I look at, you know, I remember years ago, I was talking to Mark Liniger one time, and he said, the teaching is what holds me in this church. And I thought, that is the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard in my life. How does the teaching hold you? I mean, it's the Spirit that holds you. But since, in years since then, I've changed on that. Because sometimes it is the teaching. Because I think about the many times, I mean, you can. There's other places where you can go and feel the Spirit, but I could even, and it seems to me just common sense. I guess I've heard it so long that the way we believe hell, the Godhead, resurrections, all the things we believe, it just makes perfect sense to me. And I could never, regardless of the Spirit, I don't think I could ever, and I hope I could never, that God wouldn't blind me to that. And, you know, I see people that have lived, that have no doubt said the exact same things that I've said right now, that I could never leave this, and they're gone. So I know that by the grace of God, there go I. There before the grace of God go I. And I'm just thankful to be here tonight, and I'm thankful for all y'all. I just wanted to stand and let God know that I am thankful, that I don't take this for granted, even though I sometimes do. Now I can go. I went all day long today. Usually, my what I do is when I got a little deal with myself. When I leave my house, I come up Atwood, Art Street, and that's my time to catch up on the news and see who, you know, who's recruiting who and this and that. And then when I hit the highway, I turn the radio off, and that's when I pray or meditate or do something. Well, this morning, instead of going to the office like I always do, I went straight to Conway. Well, I never turned the radio off until I got, and then I got to Conway. I thought, well, I didn't pray on the way to work because I didn't go to work. I went straight to see one of my customers up in Conway, and I thought, man, that just set my whole day off on the wrong foot. I was a little bit off kilter all day long and couldn't figure out why was I just a little bit off. Just almost felt a little bit car sick all day long, if you know what I'm saying. You know, you never get your equilibrium. You know, you don't get off on the right foot. How that's car sick, I'll never know, but that's how I felt. You know, that's a, but I am thankful. I'm very thankful for everything God has done for me and the things he's allowed me to see and do and the people he's allowed me, the great men of God that I've had, you know, contact with when we were out in North Carolina. I walked in Brother LaFleur's office and had a picture there of a Brother Nick Gruick. And it just dawned on me that that's one of my earliest memories, was Brother Nick Gruick and Brother Tom Wilkerson in our living room in St. Louis. When they'd come through town in St. Louis, they'd come stay at our house. And I thought, man, what a blessing that is to be able to have seen that and to have come up and known Brother Siders and to have known these great men of God, Brother Tucker, Brother Liniger, Brother Smith, Brother Patton, Brother LaFleur. These were great men of God, and they all made a major contribution, and they've shaped my life, and they've shaped where I've been, and I hope, and since I know where I came from, I have a better grasp of where I'm going. And even though sometimes I don't know where I'm going, I heard the saying that it's not the end sometimes, it's the journey. You know, once you get to the end, it's over. But it's that journey, and how many people you can affect on that journey, and how many people you can lift up. And I appreciate God for letting me be here.
Praise the Lord. I've got a little girl up here. She's lost her dress, but she's got quite a head of hair on her. Does anybody know about this? Where's Hannah? Brooklyn? Where's her dress at, honey? You lost this little thing's lost her clothes. It's not yours? It is. Tell her to put some clothes on. All right. Praise the Lord. Brooklyn wants y'all to know that that's Hannah's and not hers. She'd have had it fully dressed if it belonged to her. Praise God. All right. Sister Sandy Wilson, she's had her surgery yesterday, and I guess they had to do more than what they were planning on doing. They wound up putting a plate in, I think, and a couple screws to help hold it. They found a vertebrae that was ruptured, and also that they didn't know was there. So anyway, she's in quite a bit of pain this evening. So I want to remember her in our prayers. I'm just wondering if maybe we can start making a list of our prayers and maybe put them up on the screen for prayer service. When we come in, we can remember our request, and then we can scratch them off after they're answered. And sometimes it makes you feel good to take something off your prayer list. Know that that's no longer a problem. The Lord's helped us get through that. Regardless, if God just touches you and heals you, however God sees fit to let his children get through their trials in life, if he lets you go through a natural healing process, thank God it's over. I'm just so thankful. My mother hadn't had any pain in her jaw in how long, Ann? A month. Where she wasn't even going, hardly a couple of days a week that she wasn't in severe pain. And so I'm so thankful that she's having good days and not having any pain. That's a blessing. I give God credit for that. You know, because I just feel like everything that's good comes from God. This whole, all the works in the bag are his, the Bible says. So I give him credit for the whole thing. And if he lets us go through something, well, we'll be, if we can take it right, we'll be richer on the other side of it. Anyway, we might just go ahead and take some of the requests that maybe we didn't think of in our prayer. I want to tell everybody how much I appreciate the good numbers that we're getting come out at 7 o'clock for prayer. I appreciate it. I feel like it's a benefit to us. I don't think we can pray too much, and I don't think we've ever prayed really enough. And so I feel like, you know, that I'd like for us to do all we can do to get the Lord's attention and his help. Sometimes, like Brother Brett Weiniger was saying, just when you get your mind girded up on the things of God and on God, you start thinking about situations. When I pray, I start somewhere in the church and I just start going up and down the pews, and your faces come up before me and your situations, and I just ask God to help you. And sometimes I feel like, man, we've got a lot of needs. We've got a big God. We've got a wonderful Savior, like that song said. And he's on the throne tonight. He's not off the job. He's continuing on the job, faithful. So, what else tonight do we need to mention? Brother Keith, BJ? All right. Pray for Brother, Sister Wilson's husband, Brother Wilson. He's always pleasant to visit with, and about the only time we ever get to see him is up at the hospital or some event. But if we keep praying for him, one of these days I'm looking for the Lord to help him get to church with Sister Wilson. Sister Gail. All right. Sister Elsie. And her brother Randy. I'm sure Sister Elsie would say, pray for my family, all of them. Sister Oates. All right, Sister Linda. Yeah, Sister Wilkins, and then Sister Painter, she's recovering. Heard Brother Painter say she's doing well, so keep her in your prayers. Brother Mike Crafton. All right, Brother Crafton, let's remember that. Stare. All right, Sister Angie, remember her. And Brother Tyrone, keep him in your prayers. He's missing more church than I like to see him miss. Oh, I know he's busy, but I want to see him make it. So, yes. All All right, Sister Angie Elder, Sister Cindy's mom. Remember her.
I'd like to ask the church to pray. Situation in our family, I think I've mentioned it somewhat here to the church here, but it's been 6 years since I've seen my daughter and my little grandson. He was 10 months old when I saw him last. He's 7 years old now. And last night we called her and she talked to us, and we had to jump through a hoop backwards to get them to even do that, but we did what they asked us to. And so we had to apologize to each one of them individually, and I was supposed to call back Michael today, her husband and his mother. And I called all day, and they wouldn't answer the phone. I'm just afraid that he's talked Joni out of doing this. I don't know if that's the case, but it sure seems like it is. And so we had such hopes last night that we were going to get to have fellowship with our daughter again. And I know my request is not any more important than anyone else's, but I would just like the church to please pray that God would just work a miracle in our situation.
All right, remember that. Her name's Joni. Yes. All right, Brother Golden's job situation. Sorry, Sister Golden, for her health. Someone else back here have the... Yes, Sister Bryan. All right, remember Sean. Also, I know Brother Henry needs our prayers still, so keep him in your prayers. Brother Johnson's not here tonight. Did he? All right. Working tonight, I guess, helping Shelby. Sister Durham. All right. There are two sons that's not in church, Aaron and Paul. Remember them. All right. Yes, Sister Wanninger. Ray and Sue Weaver. All right. Also, Sister Wanninger's aunt, she's had a stroke, hadn't she? Remember her. Yes. All right. Also, there's a brother in the Dominican Republic, Brother Jose Lom, from Brother Elias's church, and he's worked over in Afghanistan before. A few years back, he went over before we was in war with Afghanistan. He was over there, and he trained with the canine units that use dogs for our security, or to sniff out for bombs and drugs. And this company that he worked for called him back, and they wanted him to go to Afghanistan again. And he's really suffering financially, and so they asked me about it. I told them I didn't feel good about it. Asked me about it again, because they can make, I think they're going to pay them like $2,500 a month plus $30 a day food rations and free board. So for a Dominican, that's like, that's close to dying and going to heaven. And finally I said, well, I don't feel too good about it, but, we could see. Let him go and see how, thought maybe, I didn't want my personal feelings involved in it. And I didn't want to. Anyway, he went to San Antonio, Texas, and was in training to go over there. Something happened to his dog that it come up with some kind of disease, and then something showed up in his test concerning his kidneys, and so they wouldn't take him. And so they released him, and he's His mother lives in New York, so he's went to New York. This is really a precious brother. He's been with the Dominican work since the beginning of it. In fact, he's the brother I told you all about that had the dream that he was sitting at a kitchen table and I came in the door and he was studying his Bible, and I told him, I said, you need to study your Bible because Brother Green and Brother Elias is going with me and we've got to take this gospel through the Caribbean, he said, in his dream. And he said, and I told him that you're going to have to stay here and take care of things. So you better get to studying that Bible. So he's always felt like, you know, there's some kind of calling the Lord wants him to do. And he's got a precious wife and little boy. But he's applying for a green card. His mother has residence in America, and so he might can... Anyway, if he gets his green card, then we're talking about maybe him coming to Little Rock and seeing what the Lord would do here. So pray for him, Brother Joselo. He's, you know, right now things are kind of up in the air for him, but he is over here and seeing what the Lord would do for him. So remember him. And there's just, you need to keep the Dominican work on your, you know, your prayer list. There's just so much. There's always something new going on over there. New churches, new preachers. They've met a preacher up in Silver Spring, Maryland that they've been working with. And we've got another church in Delaware that we're working with. And now there's Brother Green's got a cousin that pastors a church out in San Diego, California. He's been over the Dominican. Brother Green's been working with him, and he wants us to come out to California. So I'm going to send some of you brethren to Maryland, some of you to Delaware, and some of you to California, and some of you to St. Martin, and there's other places that there's a lot going on. And you need to be praying for that work. Right now, God doesn't, it seems difficult to find people in America that's not too rich in their spirit. You know, Jesus said, they that are sick need a physician. A lot of people over here don't know they're sick. They're like Israel. Israel was they had a terminal disease of destruction of the flesh and the soul, and they didn't even know it. And so it's another thing we should be praying right now for our country. Pray for the leaders of this body and pray for the leaders of our country. You know, I know God's going to put whoever in for president in this election, he's going to put the president in that he wants in. But did you know, I think God's people could have an effect on who God puts in. God could, you know, if we had enough prayers, if we asked God to hold back the four winds a little longer, ask God to help us. He's done that before. You know, the Lord's blessed righteous kings and he has hearkened to the people's cries, and that's what I'm saying, that he we could get a hold of God. And not just so much that I don't want my will, but I know enough about the Bible that I know what we're headed into. And I know we need God's help right now. we're not going to change the outcome. We know what's coming, but I know what God's purpose is for the church. And the church needs more strength, I feel. And I'm asking God to strengthen the church and hold back the four winds of civil power and military power and religious power and financial powers that are corrupting this world. And so the Bible tells us to pray for those that are in rulership, even in the kingdoms of this world. So let's ask God to help us. Help our country. This country needs help. All right, let's stand and ask God to help us with these situations. If ushers will come, we'll take up your offering. Remember the missions. If you give to the missions on Wednesday night, if you put your tithes in, must be back there, are they? Little Sister Winnegar will, she'll apply it to the right place, but anyway, we do need to remember that we're a church that supports a great need in missions. So I know God will bless you. He'll help you if you give to the poor, you're lending to the Lord. Somebody has stole our offering buckets. Hopefully they're just misplaced. But we'll find something to receive it in here in a minute, I'm sure. All right, let's pray. Dear God, thank you, Lord, for your goodness to us and your great grace. Oh, God, meet these needs that are mentioned here tonight. Oh, Savior, touch Sister Wilson tonight. God, ease her pain. Cover her and help her, Lord, during this time while she's in the hospital. Jesus, make it an easy time for her. Touch Brother Wilson. Oh, God, touch his heart. Oh, God, put it in his heart to come and be with her in church, Lord. Brother Ray and Sister Susan Weaver, God, touch their hearts. Help them, oh, Lord. Dear God, hallelujah, hallelujah. God, these needs that seem so urgent tonight, Lord, help these mothers, oh God, these families with their children. God, the situations that you are the only one that can help us with them. God, you're able to touch hearts and minds and spirits. Oh God, Sister Wilkins, Lord, touch her, help her, strengthen her, Lord. Sister Painter, God, help her to heal. Oh, God, give her good health. Help her, oh, God, in her situation. Precious Lord, touch the Ratliff family, Randy. Oh, God, touch him. Save him. God, work this into that family to work your will and encourage them to come your direction, Lord. Sister Elsie tonight, God, touch her body and help her. Sister Karen, Brother Golden, God help him. Lord, strengthen their situation, God. Bless them and help them. Touch Brother Bryant tonight, God. Touch his body and help him. Brother Crafton. Oh, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Sister Elder, God, touch her. Help her, Lord. Oh, God, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. God, touch our country. Oh, God, our leaders, help us, Lord Jesus. Touch hearts and lives, Lord God. Oh, Jesus. Oh, God, touch this country and help them to get ready, oh, God, for your great move. These things that are coming on this land, oh, God. Precious Lord, touch the leaders of this body, Lord. God, give us direction. Give us strength, Lord. Give us words. Oh, God, that'll perform your purpose, not man's. Oh, God, but your purpose, your will. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's Sister Angie Perry, Brother Tyrone tonight. God, touch them, encourage them, and help them. Oh, Jesus. These children, God, that are away from you, that aren't serving you, that was raised this way, God, touch their hearts. God, reach in and touch them. Make a way, oh God, for them. God, give them an opportunity. Another time, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Blessed be the Lamb of God. Blessed be your name, Lord. Hallelujah. God, touch that work in the Dominican, these outreaches that you're reaching into, the interest that's being showed. God, oh God, help us, Lord, to perform your will, Jesus. Oh God, give us workers. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Bless the Lord, God. Bless the Lord. All right, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Brother DJ, God, to heal him, help him to heal up. Praise God. Remember this sister, was her name Nona Atkins? Sister Atkins. Remember her, Brother Shane? Oh, Sister Shay that was here, yes, Sunday. Remember her. And Shane, keep him in your prayers too. Even Shane, what's his name? From Mountain Midland? Keys. I keep remembering him from time to time. All right. God bless you as you give tonight. Praise God. I just thought I might say a few things on, I'm just thinking about the purpose of God and what, you know, Brother Brett Weiniger was talking about, the things that hold us here. But he was at one time thinking it was the Spirit. But sometimes what gets us to come is the Spirit. But you can't live on water by itself. It takes the Spirit and the truth. They that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and truth. And I was thinking about, you know, the landmarks that's been laid down by our forefathers. And Solomon said, remove not the ancient landmarks which were set by our fathers, for which our fathers have set. I reset it. It's and I was thinking about the landmarks that, of this body that you know, our forefathers has set for us, what God has done. I'd have to say our vision is what holds us. It's of course, it takes the Spirit of God for you to have a vision. The Spirit of God's got to touch you. And then, of course, the Word of God. I remember when I found this, I thought, this is a secret place. Because I thought I found a secret that I can't even tell. Like we was talking about Sunday morning, you know, that the new name. You're if you overcome, you're going to get a new name, and nobody's going to know that name but you. Well, you can't tell this. You can try your best to tell this to somebody, but they can't receive it unless God touches them. God has to touch them. God has to give them a vision. You know, I can't find anything in history anywhere since the New Testament church fell away until Brother William Souders got a revelation of one body. You can't find anywhere in any of the reformers where any of them had any vision of that. But God gave that man a vision of one body. He found it in the Bible. God showed it to him. That there's to be one body. and then he saw it in the early church. Everything, you know, there was 12 apostles. And then the apostle Paul was sent to the Gentiles, and yet that was they were all one, just one body. The wall of partition was broke down between Jew and Gentile. Jesus did that with the work He did on the cross, and this gospel was given to whosoever will, let him come. But there was an order of God. There was a kingdom of heaven. Is preached, and the men press their way into it. There's just one kingdom of heaven. And Jesus told the 12 apostles, 12 disciples, He said, you'll sit on 12 thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. They did that. Those men were rulers. And They preached the gospel to that whole known world back there, and it judged the people of God, either worthy or unworthy of eternal life. Jesus, look at that scripture in 2 Timothy, the first chapter. He's telling Timothy in verse 6, chapter 1, he said, "Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which in thee by the putting on of my hands." He laid hands on him. And there was a gift of God that was imparted, you know, that... He got saved under Paul's ministry, and he was trying to admonish him or edify him to stir up that gift. For he said, "God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind." And, you know, I'd like to encourage all y'all, stir up the gift of God that's in your life. If you got the Holy Ghost, you've got gifts and talents. Stir them up. Hit your mind. Think on them. Ask God. You know, you'd be surprised what God will put in your mind, things He'll put in your mind to do if you'd just stop and think about it. And ask God, you know, what could I do? Get out on your knees and pray and ask God to help you to stir your mind up. Stir up the gift. And then he said, Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner. You know, I'm sure that had to affect Paul at times to think, you know, here I am sitting in a prison. These people, you know, they ought to, you know, that. I mean, you know, I'm sure he'd think, well, if I'm a great man of God, God ought to get me out of here, and I'm afraid the people are going to feel like that, you know, they're ashamed of me because I'm in prison. Here I am trying to be their leader, and I'm in prison. But he said, don't be ashamed of me. Or he said, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. Jesus suffered, and he saw that God was in his suffering. That God didn't just deliver all of them out of everything that happened to them, but God was, his hand was in it all. And that what Paul was going through was for the gospel's sake. You know, God, did you know God needed to have some people to show that they can stand in times of affliction? They can stand when they're in a time of suffering. They can bear it. There's enough of the power of God to help you to bear it. You know, when you go back in the Bible and see all the, you know, your mind almost immediately have to go back to Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego, and Daniel, and you know, the suffering that they went through when they was in captivity, and what all Israel went through because of the sins of people. Saints, I don't like being a preacher you know, I don't like telling you that it ain't always smooth sailing. I don't like telling you that. I'd like to tell you tonight, this thing's going to get, you know, you're going to be walking down through pearly gates and golden streets, and this is all going to be glorious from here on out. But I'd be lying to you if I told you that. I'm telling you, there's There's rough days that are coming to this world, and but there, I will tell you this, there's time. There's time for you to, there's still time of blessing. Capitalize on it. Be like the little ants. Don't be like a sluggard, but get busy like the little ants. And get ready, store up all of God you can get. All the good word of God and the spirit of God you can get. While it's still a time that you can do that. And I'd like for, you know, I'm expecting God to, I know the Lord, I really appreciate what Brother Brett said about our young people. I appreciate our young people. They, you know, you're here. And I appreciate the fact that God's working in your life. And I am expecting God to really deeply touch some young people. And see them get a hold of, like Brother Brett was saying, sometimes when things happen, you don't know that somebody can come up with it. But I know God's planting things in people's lives, and but I know that, you know, I was thinking about Paul here. He's a partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. Verse 9 says, who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose. God has a purpose. We have to fit into that. Purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. That's how old this plan and purpose of God is. Before he ever said, let there be light. Before he ever started working on it. He had a purpose. He knew what he was going to do. But is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who's abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. I'd have been in cold dungeon with Paul and needing some of the parchments and a coat. I'd have been talking about immortality and life too. I'd have been thinking about when this is all over, what I'm headed into. Whereunto I'm appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles, for the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I'm not ashamed, for I know in whom I'm believed, and I'm persuaded that he's able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. That good thing which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost which dwelleth in us. So he just, you know, here we're hearing this man of God in prison, suffering for the gospel's sake and encouraging somebody else, stir up your gift. And hold on to those sound words which you heard me preach to you. Stir it up. Give it out. Keep this work going. And these things that are holding us. In 2 Peter, the first chapter, we've been over that many times, and we know if you there's things you have to add to your walk of in God, to your understanding. And if you'll do this, if you'll be diligent, you'll never fail, and there'll be an entrance made for you into everlasting kingdom. So there's things that's got to be added to your understanding. There is teachings and doctrines, but we know our foundation goes back to, it doesn't just go back to just, you know, doctrine alone, but there's keys. Matthew 5, 6, and 7, there's a spirit of Christ. There's a spirit of humility, and there's a spirit of having the right spirit of forgiveness and humility, and that is required for us to, and lowliness, a pure heart, for us. In fact, that in Ephesians 4, where he said, "There's one body, there's one faith," he said, "There's one spirit." Right there, that one spirit is not talking about the Holy Ghost, but that's the spirit of Christ. We've got to get the same spirit that he was in. And there's, you know, we've got to get humble enough before God and stay humble enough before God. And we've got to have the spirit of charity. We know, you know, if we work on these landmarks of Matthew 5, 6, and 7, Romans 5, 6, 7, and 8, and 1 Corinthians 13, we know that we've got to understand what our foundation is, of that Christ, what he, this mortality that he brought to life. We understand. We can't make it through the law. The law won't save you eternally. And you've got to get that understanding about the law of grace. It's not the works that you do, even though there's, you know, if you've got to have works in your life, but it's because you believe. It's because God's working something in you that you're obedient to him. It's not that you know that your working is going to save you, but it's because of your faith in the power of God and God's purpose, and that you're willing to yield over to him and obey him and follow his instructions. And if you'll do that, there's life in that. There's life in this Holy Ghost life. We know that charity, we got to have the right spirit, not just towards God, but our brother, people. We've got to maintain this pathway of charity. It is the bond of perfection, the Bible said. It's the glue that'll carry us on if I'll treat my brother right. Brother Watson used to sing that song. If I were my brother and my brother were me, I know I would show much more sympathy. I'd have more pity and more merciful be. If I were my brother and my brother were me. We've got to have a spirit for one another. We've got to have the love of God working in our lives. And I know we're taught to put that on. I remember when I first heard that, I thought, put it on? Y'all just putting on? Brother Daniels, they said, yeah, we're just putting on. We don't love you like we need to, but we're putting on charity until God works the love of God in us. This message, this vision of immortality. You know, mortality has to put on immortality. I said, man, I thought we was already immortal. They taught me out there that when you die, your soul lives on throughout eternity. They said, yeah, they teach that, but the Bible don't. They said, Jesus brought immortality to light. He showed that you have to overcome this old Adamic nature. The Bible talks about perfection. These are landmarks. These are part of our vision. To know that God's going to have to do a work in you. And that's where you're going to become immortal. Well, no wonder I said, you know what one of my first questions was, Sister Inez? I said, what if I die before this happens? Before I get there? Before I make it? That's what they said. That's what the church in Thessalonica evidently wrote the question to Paul. What happened to people that die before they make it? Paul wrote them back, and he said, sorrow not for them as ye sorrow for those that have no hope. Whew! I like that. I found something. If I die before I make it, don't sorrow for me just like some sinner out here or ungodly person. Because he said, Jesus is going to come back. The dead in Christ are going to rise. I'm going to have a resurrection. Well, I thought out there in religion they taught me, you know, that when I died, that was it, you know. Y'all started showing me scriptures in the Bible that people that died and resurrected, and they stuck their foot back in shoe leather, started walking on the earth and hearing more about the gospel. People resurrected, saints resurrected after Jesus' resurrection, and went into the city and were seen of many, and they received the Holy Ghost. That's why they resurrected. In the day that I make up my jewels, he said, they'll be mine, saith the Lord. A book of remembrance was written back there. Did you know God still got a book of remembrance? He don't forget nothing. What is it? An elephant that has such a good memory? What is it? Elephant? Well, I'm going to tell you, God can top the elephant's memory. He don't forget nothing. He remembers everything. Only, you know, and if you're his child, he won't forget you. That ought to make you want to jump up and run tonight. Thank God, if you're a child of God, he'll never forget you. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. You're his child and you're living by faith tonight. I'll even throw you in this. Even if you ain't living right. You've been born to God. You're God's child. Even if you're not living right, he won't forget you. He's still going to bring you up in judgment. He's going to give you an opportunity, maybe after the 1,000 years, in the resurrection of the unjust, but he won't forget you. I'm going to tell you something. I don't want to come up down there. I don't want to fit in that group. There's a rod of iron going to be applied to them. God's going to have to do something to people that won't live right when they know they're supposed to live right. He's going to have to do something to shake them. I don't want God to, you know. Somebody said, I've heard men in there said, look. He said, help me. If you see I'm not doing what's right, help me. He said, tell me first. He said, if you can't tell me, then push me. Shake me. Slap me. You know, if I'm on a railroad track and the train's coming and you tell me to get off the track and I won't get off of it, I'm telling you right now, get me off that track. If I won't listen to you, if it takes a ball bat to get me off the track, well, don't kill me with it if you can help it. I mean, might as well let the train do its job if you're going to hit me in the head as hard as you can with a ball bat. But if you can get me off the track, get me off of it. Well, I wish that would work that way with people. You know, I wish I could get a hold of some people. I wish I could carry a ball bat around and say, buddy, I'm telling you right now, I want you to get your hide in the church house. You better get to church. You see this ball bat? I'm going to beat you off the track if you don't listen to me. It won't work. I've hit them with ball bats, words that was almost like ball bats. It don't work. I found it out. I've tried a little bit of everything. But you know, God has given us some sound words. We've been given a form of sound words that has held us together. There's good landmarks. Even these good men of God down through the years, it's helped us to keep the Spirit of God. Not y'all know, don't you? I mean, all of you gotta know. We're trying to hold the Spirit of God in here. You know that we can get we get too much of the world in here, the Spirit of God will leak out of here. Y'all know that, don't you? It'll happen. If we let too much of the world come into our lives, it'll choke God out. It's like Jesus said, it's the thorny ground. The thorns will grow up and choke out the Word of God in your life if you get too much of the world in your life. Sometimes God, He lets things hinder our lives that cause us to dig down and begin to look for what's wrong. Well, there can be things hinder us. And sometimes we have to begin to seek God, make some new dedications to Him, get some things out of our lives that may be hindering us. And look, that if we can't sustain our calling in just in cleaning up our lives, how are we ever gonna fit in a deal like this where we might wind up in prison and have to hold on to God and say, I'm in here for the gospel's sake. You know, some people get mad at God if He let them suffer too much. He's not, you know, God wants His children to have good things, but His plan and His purpose is going to go forth. And you see, God couldn't stop everything that was going on back there. And His purpose continued to go forth. Because God was harvesting a world. And the wickedness that was coming against God. And God's great men and His great saints. It was the pressure that they needed that pushed them right on in to overcoming everything. And I'm not saying you don't have to come under that pressure to overcome sin. But in the end of the world, it was necessary because there was a beast system back there. There was a system that in a harvest that took place. And God wasn't finished with the world. There was a Gentile world He had to deal with. He won't be finished down here when the pressure and the heat gets on down here. There's another 1,000-year world, a millennial, a world that God's going to have to still deal with to clean it up. But I'll tell you something, whoever's standing down there, in the end of that 1,000 years, when that resurrection takes place, there's not going to be a church fall away. There's not going to be a beast system after this, even the end of the 1,000 years. There'll be some problems down through the 1,000 years. You can be sure of that. But there'll never be another head of the beast rise up. There'll never be another false prophet and a beast and a dragon that'll ever rise up again. Down through that time, it will get better and better. And it's taken God a long time to clean this world up. And God's people and even God suffers. Jesus had to suffer. He had to suffer for the gospel, for salvation's sake. He had to go through a process of suffering Himself. Who would have ever suffered? Who would have ever went through suffering if Jesus hadn't have been an example of suffering? But if you arm yourselves likewise, and suffer with Him, you'll also reign with him. If you're willing to go through, right now all we're needing to do is just suffer the flesh, just push the flesh back. I'm preaching to myself just like I am to y'all, but we all need it, you know. And so we're living, you know, in a glorious time, really. We're living in a good time, saints. We can see that something's going to happen out here in the near future. But we're still living in a rich time. God's blessings are richly still in this world, in this country. You may be suffering some, but you're not suffering like this. Ain't any of you been, anybody, nobody got cat of nine tails today for praying, did you? Nobody's been threatened to be thrown in the lion's den or a fiery furnace for praying, or to God. If somebody catch you praying, it won't do anything to you. You're living in a good time. We're living in a great time. We can shout, we can run the aisles, we can make all kinds of noise around here, and nobody cares. There's been times where you couldn't do that. There's countries right now you can't do that in. You can't get by with it. So God, you know, look what God's done, and he's getting the church ready for restoration. He's gave us forefathers that's laid down these landmarks. I don't have time tonight. I could go through a lot of them with you and show you the doctrines of the body of Christ that we've been given. But I do know, you know, if you'll keep the Spirit of Christ that he gave out in Matthew 5, 6, and 7, you'll get the understanding that we've been lifted out of the law in Romans. And we're not under the condemnation of the law, but we're under the Spirit of grace. We can live above condemnation. We can live by faith. Even if you do wrong, you can get forgiveness. You can step right back into the Spirit of life. Just by faith, you can, and humility. And you can understand where you're going, that you're, you know, and you can know that you've got to maintain this Spirit. You've got to know the love of God. God's working his love in your life for your brothers and your sisters. Maybe we'll sing that song before we go home. We have the words to it. Y'all have the words to that song, If I Were My Brother? See if you can play it for me, Michael. I think I can sing it. Help y'all sing it anyway. What key you probably do it in? C? I've sung it before, I think, but I don't have the words with me. Did I? Go to the first verse if we have it. Is that the first verse? Y'all can help me. Well, if I were my brother and my brother were me, well, I know I would show much more sympathy, and I'd have more pity and more mercy for me. If I were my brother and my brother were me, oh yes, I know I would find so many mistakes. If all I could see was just a mirror of me, and I know I wouldn't be so quick to condemn if my brother were me and I could be him. Put verse 2 up there. Is that it? Well, I would have wisdom. my failures to see. If my eyes would not search for what others should be, and I'd be more forgiving, just like God forgave me. If I were my brother, and my brother were me, oh yes, I know I wouldn't find so many mistakes if all I could see just a mirror of me. And I know I wouldn't be so quick to condemn if my brother were me and I could be him. Oh yes, I know I wouldn't find so many mistakes if all I could see just a mirror of me. And I know I would be so quick to condemn if my brother were me and I could be him. Well, if I were my brother and my brother were me, well, I know I would show much more sympathy, and I'd have more pity and mercy for me. If I were my brother and my brother were me, oh, I know I wouldn't find if all I could see just a mirror of me. And I know I wouldn't be so quick to condemn if my brother were me and I could be him. Well, I'd have my failures to see. If my eyes would not search for what others should be, and I'd be more forgiving, just like God forgave me. If I were my brother and my brother, oh, I know I wouldn't find so many mistakes if all I could see was just a mirror of me. And I know I wouldn't be so quick to condemn if I were my brother and I could be him. Oh, I know I wouldn't find so many mistakes if all I could see just a mirror of me. And I know I wouldn't be so if I were my brother and I could be him, oh yes, I know I wouldn't find so many mistakes.
could see just a mirror of me. And I know I was so quick to condemn if my brother were me and I could be him. Oh, I know I wouldn't find so many mistakes if I could see just a mirror of me. And I know I wouldn't be so quick to condemn if my brother were me and I could be. Oh, I know I wouldn't be so many mistakes if all I could see was just a mirror of me. And I know I wouldn't be so quick to condemn if I were me and I. I know I wouldn't find so many mistakes.
Bless you. Hallelujah. Appreciate you.
Be so quick to condemn if my brother and I could be him. Oh, I know I wouldn't find so many mistakes if all I could see was just a mirror of me. And I know I wouldn't be so quick to condemn if I were me and I could be here. Yes, I know I wouldn't find so many mistakes if all I could see was just a mirror. If my brother were me and I could be him, oh, I wouldn't find so many mistakes if all I could see just that mirror. Thank you.
had to try it. I wouldn't find so many mistakes if all I could see just a mirror of me. And I know I wouldn't be so weak.
I love you, boy.
And I could be here. Oh, I know I wouldn't find so many mistakes if all I could see just a mirror of me. And I know I wouldn't be so quick to if my brother were me, and I could be him. Brother were me, and I could be him. Hallelujah.